Good morning. So glad to see everyone here. We have some sick, we have some that are out, but we have a lot of visitors as well, and we're so thankful that you are here with us today. I hope that when all is said and done, you can walk out of this building this morning and be well edified and be uplifted. But most importantly, we pray that the things that we say and do are in accordance to God's word and well-pleasing to Him. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. And before we do that, there are some things I would like for us to consider before we partake. And that is that God is always doing new things. Wait, how? What do you mean? Isn't God the same? Isn't God never changed? Isn't God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes, that is true. God never changes. And one of the things that never changes about God is that He's always doing new things. Let me tell you what I mean by this. In Isaiah chapter 43, God Himself is saying, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This is some wonderful and uplifting advice. Dwelling on the past keeps us in the wasteland. That's what depression is at its core. Depression is an unhealthy focus on your past and the past mistakes that you have made. That's why people sometimes feel they aren't worth anything. They make that assumption based on a misinterpretation of their past. And that's why, just as Isaiah describes it, people get stuck. They get stuck in this lifeless wasteland of their past. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about on this one. We need to see the past through God's mercy and God's grace, and let Him create new streams inside of us, even when we are in the middle of our own wilderness. God is always doing a new thing. God loves to give new beginnings, and He wants to do that for us. The process might seem slow, like cultivating really hard frozen ground, but springtime, that new beginning, will come. Yeah, but Josh, you don't know my past. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know how many times I have done those things. God tells us not to dwell on the past. But we can certainly learn from it. Look at Israel's past. The nation of Israel repeatedly turned their backs on God who brought them out of bondage. God would give them opportunities to start new beginnings over and over by sending some kind of deliverer. And as long as those judges or those good kings were in that position of leadership, the people did fine. But at the minute those people were gone, eventually Israel would turn back to their past and those old sinful ways. But even when God, as we're studying in the 10 to 12 year old class, there came a time when God got so fed up with them that they had to go into exile. They had to go into slavery for a while. But even during that time, God did not give up on them. There's a spot in 2 Kings 19, and that comes right after the king of Assyria has been trying to instill doubts and fears into the people that God is not adequate enough to deliver them. So Hezekiah, the king of Judah at that time, he prays to God about the situation, and that's when Isaiah the prophet comes and lets Hezekiah know that God is a God of new beginnings and He would restore a remnant of His people. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 30, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Notice the word again. God is willing to do it again. And the remnant would be established and grow. God first, he's going to work in ways that we can't see. That's those roots that are going down. But eventually, that fruit is going to come. And that's the fruit that's going upward. That remnant did grow. And out of that root came the Messiah. Why? Why is God willing to do this time after time? Let's be clear. It ain't because the people were good about it. It's not because they deserved it. It's not because what they were going to do. It's because of what God was going to do. We have to read that next verse. We cannot stop at verse 30. Because verse 31 says, "For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord will do this." The verse doesn't say the strength of the people will do this. The strength doesn't say the righteousness of the people will do this. I think it's interesting to note, it doesn't even say the power of the Lord will do this. It says the zeal of the Lord will do this. God's intense love towards his people is what drives him to, again and again and again, provide his people with new beginnings. Now, these verses were written about the kingdom of Judah. However, the God that was zealous for them, he's our God too. If we are in Christ, we are his people. And he continues to create new things in us all the time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And the beautiful thing about God's plan is that it's just not a renewing that happens only at our baptism. Even as we get older and we notice our bodies slowly shutting down, doing things we can't do anymore, every day is a new day from God. If we need it, it's a new day to start over. And it's a new day that we can use to grow closer to him. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." As a result of his love and his zeal towards us, new beginnings continually are possible. Sometimes we can't perceive it because we've been in our own wilderness for too long. We haven't been able to get out of our own past. And as many wise people have noted, if you keep looking behind you, eventually you will stumble and fall because you're not paying attention to where you should be going. We need to see the future as God sees the future. New beginnings for us. And for those who are doing that, God is always doing new things. Our part is to trust him. And if we do that, if we trust him, then that ultimate newness, the final newness, will be ours. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be to them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated at the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. And of course, the ultimate expression of God's zeal, the only way that we have daily renewal and the chance for that ultimate new place without tears or death, that is only because of the sacrifice of Jesus. His death allows for continuous rebirth. He is our God, and he is the God of the new. Never lose sight of that. I would like for us to think about our new beginnings that we have all the time through Christ because of his death. And let's think on these things as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning.
That concludes Josh's Lord's Supper thoughts. Next up is his sermon, also from this morning, December 9th, about Joliet's direction for 2019. Our theme and the title of his sermon is Service Within and Without.
When it comes to New Year's resolutions, the Babylonians are said to have been the first ones to do it about 4,000 years ago. They held a celebration in honor of the new year. But for them, it wasn't in January, it was about mid-March when they planted the crops. That was the new year for them. And at that time, they held a celebration, and they would rededicate themselves to whoever the king was, and they vowed that they were going to repay debts and borrow and return all the stuff that they had borrowed from the previous year. I would be in a lot of trouble. I've borrowed a lot of things from you guys. Similar things happened in ancient Rome when Julius Caesar kind of tinkered with the calendar and made January 1st the new year. January was taken from the Roman god Janus, who was supposed to inhabit doorways. And Janus had a face that looked backwards towards the past and forward into the future. And so rededicating and learning from the past and moving on towards the future was something that started in the ancient Roman days. And for early Christians, the first day of the new year came traditionally a time to think about your past mistakes and resolving to do better. In about 1740, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, he created the Covenant Renewal Service, which was commonly held on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. They would read scriptures and they would sing hymns, and he was trying to give some kind of spiritual alternative to a lot of the raucous New Year's celebrations that were happening around him. And eventually became known as a watch night service, and you can still find watch night services today that'll be held on New Year's Day typically. Despite the tradition's religious roots, New Year's resolutions today are mostly a secular practice. They're not really made to the gods. They're just kind of made to yourself. According to research, as many as 50% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, but only about 8% keep them. I won't ask you where you think you fall. But despite this dismal record, it's probably not something that's going to stop because we've been doing it for about 4,000 years now. And humans, we like our patterns. I myself have been looking forward to the new year for some time. Not to make resolutions per se, but because of the new beginnings and the revitalization that we as the Christians here at the Joliet Church of Christ have said that we wanted. And we've picked 2019 to get started. We've resolved to improve and to do more. So this morning I want us to look forward to see what we hope the Joliet Church of Christ will look like in 2019. If you remember, through the month of October, we asked for your feedback. We ask for your feedback about what goals you had for the Church of Christ in 2019. What themes did you want to explore? What sermons would you like to hear? What events are you hoping to see? I received a good amount of feedback, and I am really thankful for that. It shows that you are interested in what goes on here at this church, and not only are you interested, but you want to be a part of it too. In November, the men met to go over the feedback and to make some plans for the next year, and I gotta be honest, I'm kind of excited. I hope you are too. There is an energy right now that I kind of think like I haven't felt in a while, so we need to capitalize on that energy real quickly and give it a focus and give it a direction for the glory of God. So when the feedback was reviewed, there were some things that became very clear very quickly. We really care about each other. There were so many comments and desires to encourage one another, to really get to know one another. You want to work together? You want to play together? You want to study more together? You want to pray more together? You want to spend time socially as well as within the worship service? You're interested in strengthening your brothers and sisters in any way that you can. And this is a completely biblical desire. In Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Further down in that same chapter, it says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And then in Colossians 3, which was also in the bulletin this morning, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And I think that's what we're seeking here, love and harmony. It also became clear that we really care about the people that are outside of this building. There were several requests and comments regarding doing community events, volunteer work, finding ways to have a positive impact on our area. You want to improve your love for others, and you want to decrease the things that are blocking that love. And not only are you concerned about people's physical well-being, but you are concerned about their spiritual well-being as well. People want to get involved in personal work. You want to invite more people to church. You want to have more one-on-one Bible studies. And again, this desire is biblical and fulfilling commandments of God. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And then in what is called the Great Commission, Matthew 28 tells us, with Jesus' words, those are the red ones. Jesus' words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And another thing that became very apparent when we reviewed the feedback was that you really care about the youth. It's no secret that we have lost generations of young people. And I'm not just talking about the church in general. I'm talking about here in this building. I understand that there are a lot of different, sometimes complex reasons about why somebody leaves the church, but it is not anything we can deny or ignore. I love so much every person I have ever taught in a Bible class. And I'm 140 years old and have lived in several different states. I have taught a few people in my lifetime, and generally, I remember all of them. I think of people that I have taught in class here, people that I've had biblical conversations with, people that I've baptized. I don't know what their spiritual standing is with God. That is not something that I can judge, but I do know that they have not been inside a church building in quite a long time. And I know that that is something that God says is important. I spent so much time thinking about them and the things that I've done, or maybe the things that I didn't do, or the things that I didn't do well enough. But I have faith. I have faith that those that left can come back. And we don't want to give up on them. Even though they're grown, a lot of them, maybe you, like I do, still think of them as our kids. And we need to get our kids back. And I also have faith that those that are young right now in this church will grow and mature and thrive and be powerful workers for God. But they can't do that without our help and our guidance and our example. And your feedback shows that you recognize this too. And encouraging and guiding the young has always been important to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 5, "You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take care, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children." So grandparents, you're not off the hook either. And we know how Jesus felt when it came to the children. Matthew 19, starting in verse 13. "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.'" So as the men looked over the different topics, even though they might appear to have been all over the place, we recognize that there was a common trait that ran throughout them. Whether you used the words or not, whether you thought the words in your head, it became clear that what we are saying we want to see more from this church in 2019 is ways to serve. All of the things in the feedback can be boiled down to service in some way or another, and service can take many forms, whether you're serving other Christians, the community, or the young people that we love so much. I agree, we need to be serving more in 2019. So with that in mind, our theme for next year that we're going to focus on is going to be service within and without. That will be our focus. Doesn't this look cool? I love this. Brian Meyer has already started his service by creating this logo. Tessa Heiser came up with the title. We're going to turn this into a sign. We're going to make a sign, we're going to put it in the building so that we can all have a constant reminder of what our focus should be next year. Now I admit, we ain't got everything figured out just yet. There are still details we need to figure out, and there's some ideas we still need to have. But here are some of the things that we are shooting for in 2019 within the framework of service. Every first Sunday of the month, there will be a sermon that will focus on some aspect of service. There are plenty of different directions I can go with this. And it'll be good to have a monthly reminder. I know I need constant reminders. Maybe you do too. And I'm going to do my best to make these very visitor-friendly services as well. If you want to know when you can invite somebody to church, well, the number one answer is anytime. But the second answer is the very first Sunday of the month. It will be a reminder and a motivator for us and a good time to really welcome new faces. Now, this next one might sound weird, but we want to increase our online presence. Is this really important, Josh? Well, yeah, it is. Getting information to the community about who we are and when they can worship with us is important. And there ain't no shame in saying that we want to do it in an attractive manner. So, our website is going to get an overhaul. The church's website should be a place that we all check on a pretty regular basis. In this era, your website is the front porch of your church. That is where people are going to go to find out if it's a place that they want to visit or not. It should not be, the website should just not be a place that just says that we're one of the kajillion places you can spend time on Sunday morning and maybe on a Wednesday night. If people look us up online, they need to know that this is the church that Jesus established, that we love him, we put all of our authority in his word, and that we care about each other, and that we would love for them to come and visit with us. Also, we're going to do some more things on Facebook and Instagram, and not everybody is on social media. I get that. I respect that decision. But it is a powerful tool that can be used for locating those seeking God's word. Right now, we have a closed Facebook page where we just kind of talk to each other and pass around news and notes, things to remember. That is great. That is not going to change. That is going to stay where it is. But we're also going to add an open Facebook page that's going to talk about upcoming events, that's going to have uplifting things that you can use to share and to point people to so that they can find out what's going on in our church. I know a lot of people also use Instagram, especially young people, and they choose that over Facebook. So we'll have an Instagram account as well, but again, that will mainly be just for uplifting things and upcoming events. I think it would be a mistake to ignore the tools that these are. Like all things, they need to be used wisely, but I have confidence that they can be used to God's glory. We've said we really want to increase our Bible studies, and I could not agree more. And we do have some possibilities that are going to happen. We're going to have a weekly meetup Bible study. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with the website called Meetup, but I've talked to a lot of preachers in this area that have used this website pretty successfully. What happens is you place an ad on a particular website. This is the logo for Meetup. And you just say, anybody interested in talking about this thing, meet at this time at this place. And you can do it for all kinds of things. It doesn't matter what the topic is. I just looked on Friday. There are 77 different Meetup groups within a 10-mile radius of Joliet. 77 different groups. Now, there are things from singles groups, gaming groups, health and wellness groups, and people that love pugs. They get together once a week and talk about their pugs. But the point is, this website is being used, and I think we can use it for God. Sometimes meeting in someone's house can be a little intimidating. This way, this is something that people can find on their own, as well as something that we can invite people to. This is something we can use proactively and reactively. Now, more details are going to come on this, but I am convinced that I'm going to let you guys know about what's happening, and I'm convinced that it will be well supported. It's already been mentioned several times, but we do have that Bible Basics class that's been meeting at the home of John and Joanne Meyer. And I know some of you who are here have already participated in that class, and you have greatly, greatly enjoyed it. Now, it's geared towards new converts and those that are interested in studying the simple foundation of biblical truths. John Meyer is an amazing teacher. And he has always got a scripture to back up all of the things that we talk about. And the hospitality that they offer to anybody that walks through their door is unequaled. And I am not just buttering him up because he turned 84 yesterday. It's the truth. Even if you feel you're not a new convert, come to one of these classes every now and again. I promise you, you will benefit from it. And also, while it's a goal to have two regular classes, I want you to know that we're ready to study with anybody, anywhere, anytime. And not just me. There are so many knowledgeable, kind, warm-hearted people that would love to help you study with somebody else about God's Word. And not only that, maybe you want to do something just for yourself. Maybe there's a question. Maybe there's a topic that you've had in your head for a while, and you know there's not really a way we could devote a whole quarter to it, but there's a question that you've had. I bet somebody else has had that question too. There was a time when we did have Sunday night services, and if you remember, there was a question that came up about partaking of the Lord's Supper on a Sunday night. So there was a group of us that were wondering about that. So we had a couple of classes at people's houses, and we just studied that one thing. We maybe met three times. Maybe that was the most. I don't remember, but I know it was only a handful of times. And it was a really good study. It was a really beneficial study. There are so many opportunities for us to make more Bible studies happen. Set it up. Let's make it happen. Now, this next thing is going to sound kind of weird, but it's something we're going to try to see if we can get off the ground. There was a time long ago where if your church had a radio program, whoo, that was it. That is what every church aspired to have. The radio program of today is the podcast. And it's a lot easier to set up than a radio show. And it's so beneficial because you can download it and you can listen to that thing whenever you want, whenever it's convenient for you. The plan is to have myself and maybe one or two other people sit around and we're just for 30 minutes talk about a biblical subject, study some scripture. Hopefully it's something we can link up to our new website. It's something that you can use in your study, something to help you have a biblical thought throughout the day. And Lord willing, it'll be something that you can very easily point to somebody else and say, hey, go check out this website. Go check out this podcast from on my church's website. That was really good. It really got me thinking. Give it a listen. I'd love to talk to you about it later. I think this is something that we can use for the glory of God. We also want to have two major opportunities for individual Christians to serve the community in some way in 2019. You are always encouraged to do whatever your conscience feels you need to do, whether anybody else is doing it or not, when it comes to serving. I know that those that participate in the ladies' study are very active, and I ain't telling them to stop. They work really, really hard. And I know that there are some of you that individually just like to do things for the community that you live in throughout the year. I'm telling you, please don't stop. But we will have at least two big things in 2019 that the individual members can work towards and commit to. Not sure what those are going to be yet. Open to ideas, but we're committed to doing it. So we're going to make it happen. There are so many ways to serve our community. We can't do everything, but we need to do something. We didn't have a VBS last year, and it was clear that it was missed. And I can't tell you how happy that makes me. Adults and children both told me that they want our VBS back, and I couldn't agree more, and it really was a time when the whole congregation came together in execution and in planning and to make a wonderful, biblically based event. And it is most certainly coming back in 2019. We will continue this theme with service in VBS as well. The working title right now is going to be called In Service to the King. And that's all I'm going to tell you right now, besides the fact that it's going to be awesome. Looking forward to VBS a lot. We used to hang out a lot more than we do. I don't know why that dwindled off, but it makes me sad. God's people should want to spend time together. You have said that this is something you wanted. Okay, you have permission. Make it happen. In the past, we got together to do all kinds of crazy things. We had singings and potlucks and game nights and costume parties, themed meals, chili cook-offs, whatever. We used to have these on a pretty regular basis. Now, are these works of the church? No, absolutely not. It is not the mission of God to find out which of his children has the best chili recipe. But historically, it's been Derek. Paul never told the Galatians to remember the Euchre tournament this upcoming Saturday night. But Paul did say again and again that we need to have such a deep relationship with each other. Such a deep understanding of all of the ins and outs and the ups and the downs of our fellow brothers and sisters. And it had to be so deep that it was nigh impossible to get without spending time with each other outside of the building. Hospitality is talked about a lot in the New Testament, and it is something that is taken very seriously. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality also, that doesn't have to mean at your house. We have a lot of wonderful parks around here. You want to host something at the park? Great. Hey, everybody, show up here. We're going to play some volleyball. I am so there. I would argue that it is impossible to be the kind of church that Jesus wants us to be without hospitality. And it's something we need to do better at. We've all stated that we want to mature in Christ in 2019. This should be everybody's goal every day, but I'm glad it's a focus for all of us. I'll tell you, if you want to mature in Christ, you need to read your Bible more, you need to pray more, and you need to serve others more. Those are the fastest ways that you will mature in Christ. Men, it's already started the past few months, and I am so grateful. But guys, you will be encouraged to continue and try to do more things for the Lord. Whether or not you feel you will ever be qualified to be an elder, those qualifications are something that every man should strive to have. We need to be the leaders that God asks us to be. And that can start by increasing your service. There are men who need to try and lead a song. There are men who need to lead prayers that never have. To be willing to read a public scripture. To give a Wednesday night invitation. There are men with the ability to teach a class that never have. There are some men that really need to come to men's meetings. I don't say this to your shame, but to try to encourage you to just try. This is the absolute best place to ever try new things. It is not like we are sitting here waiting for you to fail so we can laugh at you. If you want to try to get up here and do something you have never tried before, I promise you, you will have everybody else willing your success to happen. This is the safest place to try new things and to try to grow. God does not require eloquence. God really doesn't even require intelligence. He just requires a willingness to try. There is an extremely active group of ladies here, and I know they would love for more ladies to join them. They are doing things weekly and monthly, and they are doing things for the members here and for the community, and I am just going to stay out of their way. Ladies, if you want to find out when they meet and what kind of things they're doing, there's a lot of different people you can talk to, but I would suggest Carolyn Adams or Joanne Collier or Nancy Bunch go to one of those ladies. They would love to have you join them. Tell you, the ladies here can teach everybody a thing or two about service. And you could serve them just by showing up. But like the men, I challenge the women to see how they can grow more. We have teachers that have stopped teaching for some reason. We need you back. We have some that have never taught a Bible class and need to. Preparing the Lord's Supper, creating a meal list, helping an overwhelmed mom, visiting the sick and the shut-ins. There are so many opportunities for growth. I am not saying that these are responsibilities just for the women. I'm just saying there are so many things that we can do. I'm going to challenge everyone to examine themselves and look for ways that they need to grow in 2019. Is it attendance? Are you always here on Sunday but rarely on Wednesday nights? Do you know you need to get your family to Bible class more often? How about home? Do you only pray for the really fancy meals? Do you need to cut out the cussing when you're by yourself and you're angry? You know where you need to grow. Let's work on that. I want to tell everybody about a service opportunity that's going to be available every Sunday. You've probably noticed that whenever I have a passage, a slide that pops up every now and again, it ties into the scripture reading that was read that morning. We have amazingly talented artists in this congregation. I would so much rather put up your scripture art than from somebody I don't know. I've got the list for every scripture reading for every Sunday for 2019. If you would like a copy of that, I would love to give it to you. Read those passages. Find a phrase that really speaks to you. Use that God-given talent to create some beautiful scripture art. I don't care how old or how young you are. There is no age limit on this. You give me a piece of scripture art, I will make sure it ties in with the scripture reading, and we'll have it up here for everybody to be blessed by your talent. I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that there's not anybody here that doesn't already have a servant's heart. There's so many ways that people are serving in ways that we don't even know about. And I thank you for that. I know you don't do it for the praise, but I still thank you for it. But I want all of us to take ownership of what is happening here at this church. Now, the church belongs to God. We belong to Him. But the work of the church, that belongs to us. You do not want to be standing before God on the day of judgment, and the only thing that you can tell Him is that you kept that pew really warm. I think we all know of somebody that we love that does not worship and attend the way that they used to, the way that they need to. We need to get them back. And I totally understand the concept and the wisdom of giving somebody time and giving somebody space and doing it with love, and they've got to come back when they want to get right with God. All of that is absolutely true, but I do not want us to use that reasoning to never reach out. Or to think that it's the family member's responsibility to get that person back. We are a family. And if we feel that we miss that person, and we are worried about their soul, then we need to reach out. If they never come back to God, that is their choice, and that is something that they will have to answer for on the judgment day. But if we never try to reach out to them, then that is something we will have to answer for on the judgment day. Now, I recognize I put a lot of lofty goals up here, a lot of them. And we may not succeed in all of them, but for God, and through God, we will try. That will be our purpose. And let me tell you, when you have tasted purpose, you are not satisfied with just existing anymore. That will be our purpose. And the last reminder I have to say is that we got to remind people that growth means change, people. We must realize that things are going to change. And we struggle with change. People want change, but few people like to change. Fewer people want to lead the change. We have to be ready and willing and be on board with the fact that while we will always stay within the boundaries of the truth and the gospel of the way that God wants us to, there's going to be some things that change. And we have to be ready for that. And change and growth requires some things. It requires truth, it requires patience, it requires love, and it requires forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. We will not grow if we do not have the capacity to be understanding, empathetic, and forgiving of each other. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. There's going to be people that are so excited, and they're going to have all this energy, and they're going to have these amazing ideas about things that they want to try, and there's going to be somebody who do not like those ideas. They are going to complain about tradition. They are going to stay in the negative and say how that thing will never work. We need to be loving with those people. We need to be understanding with those people. We need to understand that change is scary, and we need to understand the fear that some of those people might have about change. And we need to forgive them, and we know, and please don't let that squash your enthusiasm. Now, on the other side, there will be people that have all of this energy and all of these wonderful ideas and all these things they want to try, and they will not be good ideas. They might be ideas that are not based in the truth. They might be ideas that could really potentially lead us down a path that God does not want us to go. We need to be understanding with those people. We need to be loving with those people. We need to help them turn that enthusiasm towards what God wants us to be and not just smack them down and tell them that they're wrong. Change is going to happen, and there's people that are going to be excited about that change. And we need to make sure that that excitement is directed to God's glory and not just, I don't like that. Let's all remember that. I recognize that this has been a very untraditional sermon this morning. I don't like standing up here for as long as I did without quoting as many scriptures. But I feel it was necessary. Whether you participated in the feedback process or not, we all need to know what our goals are for 2019. The entire congregation needs to be aware, and you need to be on board. I hope that we all find growth and new ways to please the Lord as we focus on service next year. But ultimately, you cannot serve God if He does not recognize you as one of His servants. And He only recognizes His children. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For in Jesus Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. These two verses, as plainly as possible, say, faith leads us to Christ. Through baptism we join Christ. And when that happens, we become children of God. Who do you serve this morning? Do you serve your Father in heaven? Is He your Father in heaven? We've talked about a lot of things. We're really excited about stuff that's happening in 2019. But if you are not a child of God, that doesn't matter. Because frankly, you don't know whether or not you're even going to see 2019.
Well, thanks, Captain Sunshine.
But it's absolutely true. You don't know what you have except today and right now. Look at your relationship with God. If it needs to change, do something about it. And if you feel the need to take care of it right now, if there's something you need, whether it be prayers, forgiveness, baptism, whatever, if you feel the need to take care of something right now, you have that opportunity while we stand and while we sing.